This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, fallout from the Democratic primary in South Carolina and Super Tuesday, the collection of Democratic contests in 14 states that allot approximately one-third of the delegates. Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. Having won South Carolina with a large margin and 10 of the 14 Super Tuesday primaries, Vice President Joe Biden made an extraordinary comeback that even the most jaded of pundits could not have predicted. When we were at these microphones just a few weeks ago, the former vice president had garnered fourth place in Iowa and fifth place in the New Hampshire primary. It looked like self-described Democratic socialist Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders was going to be the front runner in a Democratic Party that he often vilifies. Then along came South Carolina Congressman James Clyburn, the third-ranking Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives. The legendary African-American lawmaker forcefully endorsed Joe Biden several days before the make-or-break primary in his home state and rallied black voters in South Carolina and beyond to back Biden. African Americans are the backbone of the Democratic Party. His endorsement, citing Biden's electability and impact on what we call down-ballot races for members of Congress, marked a turning point in Biden's presidential bid, leading to massive wins in South Carolina and across the South on Super Tuesday. In the Super Tuesday contest, Joe Biden won most of the southern states and unexpectedly a number of northeastern states. He triumphed in Virginia, North Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Texas, and Maine. Senator Bernie Sanders won his home state of Vermont, as well as Colorado and Utah. He is also leading in delegate-rich California. Shortly after the South Carolina primary, moderate Democrats Mayor Pete Buttigieg and Senator Amy Klobuchar announced the suspension of their campaigns and threw their weight behind Joe Biden. Then, despite his tens of millions of dollars in advertising and a formidable campaign infrastructure, former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg dropped out of the race after Super Tuesday revealed that he had no pathway to the nomination. Reportedly, Mr. Bloomberg will bring his formidable financial and organizational resources to bear to bolster Joe Biden and try to defeat Donald Trump. And by Thursday of this week, Senator Elizabeth Warren, the only remaining viable Democratic candidate in a field that started with more than 20, announced that she, too, will exit the race, clearing the way for a Sanders-Biden showdown. Well, joining us to discuss the fallout from the Super Tuesday primary contests are our favorite political analysts, John Fortier, director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Jim Kessler, senior vice president for policy at Third Way. And both gentlemen join me here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Carol.
Great to be here.
Well, Jim Kessler, let's start with you. The last time we were at these microphones, you said for Joe Biden to resurrect his campaign, he would have to win South Carolina. And you also said that the moderate lane needed to be winnowed down because that was a big disadvantage. Well, here we are after Super Tuesday. He not only won big in South Carolina, but also he did so during Super Tuesday, and the moderate lane is now his because of the others who just dropped out. What's your reaction?
It's been an extraordinary couple weeks in the Democratic primary. We went from a situation where there was really no clarity whatsoever. You had Bernie Sanders leading, and he is a latecomer to the Democratic Party. He is a Democratic socialist. He doesn't even call himself a Democrat. You had the frontrunner, Joe Biden, stumbling badly, and you had four moderates in the race competing for votes and resources, and one of them, Michael Bloomberg, who's worth more money than most countries. So everything was aligning poorly for Joe Biden, and then suddenly everything started to align correctly for him. The first thing that happened was there was the first debate that Mike Bloomberg participated in. It was right before the South Carolina primary. He was a disaster. And Elizabeth Warren, frankly, eviscerated him in this debate. And suddenly a bunch of Democrats who were wondering which of these moderates should I choose all said at once across the country, it's going to be Joe Biden. And the first place was South Carolina, which voted this past Saturday, and he got a huge victory. And then it went to Super Tuesday, and he got votes that really nobody could have imagined in places that no one thought could happen. He is now in command in this race. It's not over. Bernie Sanders can come back. But Joe Biden now is really in a commanding position.
So I'd like to get your take, John Fortier, add or subtract to what Jim Kessler said. I think there was also a lot of worry in the Democratic Party about the rise of Bernie Sanders, a self-described Democratic socialist who bashes the Democratic establishment, not so much for the ideology he espouses, but also because he would be a very bad general election candidate and almost ensure a Trump victory. But let me get you to weigh in on what we've just seen.
Well, I think what you say is right, although these races are not all about rationality. They involve many forces, especially with a large field. And so I think, you know, the couple of big moves that Joe Biden really did better in South Carolina than expected. We always expected him to do well with the black vote, but he consolidated it in a very large way. And then secondly, the dropping out of Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar. I think even with the dynamic of the race, people didn't expect that. It was only a couple days after South Carolina. And had they not done that, you know, Biden would have done better, but Bernie Sanders probably would have still had the majority of delegates on Super Tuesday. So today, I do agree with Jim that Joe Biden is sitting in a very good position, a leading position. We still have a couple of things out there. Oddly enough, California, our system there counts incredibly slowly. That's a state that Bernie Sanders has probably won and leading. The late vote may come in a little bit more for Biden, but perhaps Bernie Sanders gets some more delegates from there. And then a week after Super Tuesday, another set of states, smaller set. If Bernie Sanders is going to come back, he's going to need to come back in places like Michigan in the Midwest. And should he do that, the delegate count is not so large in Joe Biden's favor, but really he is the favorite today. If the dynamic continues as it is today, Joe Biden will continue towards the nomination.
Back to you, Jim Kessler. Bernie Sanders is strong, as John Fortier said, in California. He seems to be relatively strong with young voters, ironically, and he evidently is doing well with the Latino community. And of course, we know that Biden is very strong in the African-American community with older voters, with working-class whites, with suburban women, which are critical for the coalition. But what does Biden have to do to break into and try to woo some of these Sanders voters? How do you see him doing with the Latino community? Explain to me how you see the demographics.
I think Joe Biden will do fine with Latino voters in the general election. He'll do very, very well. Sanders is doing very well with Latino voters, really for one reason. He had a lot more money than any of the other candidates in the race, and he has been advertising and campaigning to Latino voters in California, in Arizona, in Texas, and in Nevada, while Joe Biden did not have enough money to do so. So Joe Biden just was out-resourced in California by a margin of 15 to 1 by Bernie Sanders. I think once resources even out, Joe Biden will do just as well as Bernie Sanders.
He will target those voters more aggressively.
He will target those voters, yes. Joe Biden clearly has some problems with younger voters, though. That is not a advertising problem. And I think that should Joe Biden win the nomination, when it comes time to pick a vice president, he's going to have to check some boxes there on diversity. And one of them, places where there needs to be diversity, is in terms of age. I think it'll be a young nominee that'll pick, a nominee who's a person of color, and a nominee who's a woman. So I think that's how he's going to try and overcome some of the places where he's got some gaps.
So how do you see the matchup, John Fortier, and some weaknesses on Biden's side with respect to these communities, and how Sanders is going to play it going forward? I mean, I guess anybody who tells you you can have a lot of free stuff, young people in particular, you know, free college and free health care, that is appealing, but it's not necessarily very realistic.
I guess what I would say is, while I do think Biden has the advantage, the place that we should look is the Midwest. The Midwest really has not weighed in on this campaign yet. Michigan comes next week, as well as Missouri. And this is a place where arguably Bernie Sanders could do well. He did well against Hillary Clinton and has some appeal among white working class voters there, less educated college white voters. And so we'll see. I mean, the polls seem to have moved a little bit in favor of Joe Biden there, but that's the mystery region. We know that Joe Biden is going to do well in the remaining southern states, which have very large African-American populations. Bernie Sanders is going to do pretty well in the West. I think he'll actually do better in the Northeast than he has. Elizabeth Warren leaving the race will help him there. The states that Joe Biden won in the Northeast were heavily because Elizabeth Warren took votes from him in Massachusetts and Maine and even in Minnesota. So I think the Midwest for Bernie Sanders, if he wants to come back, he's got to have a strong showing there. Then it makes it more of a race. Other than that, I think Joe Biden is the nominee.
Speaking of Elizabeth Warren, where do you think her voters are likely to go, Jim Kessler. Some say, well, she's pretty much allied with Bernie Sanders. But I don't think it's that simple. She even says, I'm in a third lane. I'm neither on the moderate part of the Democratic Party, but I don't necessarily describe myself as a Democratic socialist.
Yeah, I think her votes are going to split about evenly between Sanders and Biden. The votes that she has already lost in the past, like her, she was much higher in the polls and she went down. Those early votes mostly went to Sanders. The votes that she has left, some of them are with her for purely ideological reasons, and I think some of those will drift towards Sanders. Others are looking for a very strong woman to top the ticket. Well, Sanders has a gender problem. You know, there is a real gender gap in the Sanders vote that Biden did 12 points better than Sanders among women. So you're going to see, I think, a lot of women voters, particularly suburban women voters who were with Warren, going towards Biden. Let me just say one more thing about the vote, those who are undecided. This election is a lot about what race you are, where you live, and how old you are. So if you're a Warren supporter who's 30 years old, you'll probably go to Sanders because he's winning younger voters. If you're a Warren supporter who lives in the suburbs, you're probably going to go to Biden. And if you're a person of color, if you're African American, you're probably going to go to Biden too.
So, John Fortier, where do you think Elizabeth Warren's voters would go? We hear about Bernie bros, so I guess that also underscores a potential gender gap for him. But we'll see to the extent women will go for Biden or the younger women, as Jim Kessler said, might vote for him. I mean, how do you see it?
Well, look, it is too simplistic to say that all of Elizabeth Warren's vote is going to go one place or another. I think Jim's probably a little too optimistic that the vote will split evenly. I think Bernie Sanders will get more of that support. But of course, you also have Michael Bloomberg dropping out of the race, and most of that support is going to go to Joe Biden. And that vote was a slightly bigger vote. I do think in key areas, again, in the Northeast, also in Minnesota, those are places Elizabeth Warren did pretty well. And Bernie Sanders would have probably won those states if she had not been in the race at that time. So I think Bernie gets a little bit of a bump from Elizabeth Warren, but the overall math is not so great for Bernie because of Bloomberg also dropping out, and he's going to have to do well there and really show some other strengths other places.
We'll have more in just a moment, but first you're listening to Encounter on The Voice of America. Our guests are John Fortier, Director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, from whom you just heard, and Jim Kessler, Senior Vice President for Policy at Third Way. We're discussing how former Vice President Joe Biden's victories on Super Tuesday have changed the shape of the race. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel, VOA. Here's a shout out to valued Facebook fan from Nigeria, Balami Ilia Yusuf. If you want to hear your name and home country on the air, please send an email to encounter@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. Well, back to our discussion about the Democratic race for president. Back to you, Jim Kessler. Speaking of Michael Bloomberg and the fact that he has a lot of money and resources, it sounds like he is going to leverage them to benefit Joe Biden. Do you have any reason to believe that that won't happen? And how much of a difference will that make?
I have every reason to believe that Michael Bloomberg will spend a lot of money to help Joe Biden and to defeat Donald Trump. I don't think Mike Bloomberg was as wedded to running for president as maybe he needed to be if he was going to get into this race. But he does have some very passionate beliefs about climate change, about education, about guns. He's been very involved in philanthropy in the United States and throughout the world. And I know a lot of his people, actually, and I've talked to them on many occasions. Their goal really is to defeat Donald Trump, and I think they're perfectly happy now to take a secondary role.
I'm going to get John Fortier to weigh in, but one follow-up question to you. What about Bernie Sanders? We see the moderates uniting incredibly, you know, Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, now Michael Bloomberg, either on the eve of or right after Super Tuesday, throwing their weight and endorsements behind Biden. But what about Bernie Sanders if he does come up short at the end of the day? Do you think he will mobilize his people? It's almost like a cult, it seems, to some of us. They are very rigid about their support of Bernie Sanders. I just was wondering how you think that part of the party can unify around a strong candidate to defeat Donald Trump.
That's really an open question. And, you know, there's still a lot left to this primary race. But the next few weeks, if Bernie Sanders doesn't really have a good couple of weeks, like, it's over for him. The map does not look great for him. There's some states like Florida and Georgia that are going to give huge delegate hauls to Biden. The question is, Will he do what he did in 2016, which was he sort of pretended to help Hillary Clinton, but really didn't do much? Or will he push all the chips in and really try and help Joe Biden? I am optimistic that he will be a more positive influence on this race for Democrats than he was last time for a couple of reasons. One is, I think he has a personal fondness for Joe Biden that he did not have for Hillary Clinton. They've known each other for decades. Number two is, people thought that Donald Trump could not get elected president. Well, he did. So the idea of a second term is really too dangerous to think of. And then third is, I think he'll probably extract some demands from Biden and get some things, I don't know what, but some things that he wants, and will be able to claim some sort of victory.
Back to you, John Fortier. So that two-part question. First, Michael Bloomberg, any reason to doubt that he wouldn't mobilize his formidable machine behind Joe Biden, and to what extent that will make a difference? And then the question of Bernie Sanders, if he doesn't succeed in getting the delegates needed for the nomination, will he take back some of his criticisms or at least rally around Biden should he become the nominee and then try to rev up his base, his supporters, to back the candidate?
So first, a technical point. Michael Bloomberg, even though our campaign finance laws are relatively loose and generous about how you can spend your money, he cannot literally give his money to Joe Biden or work directly with Joe Biden. Now, he certainly can run a campaign that favors Democrats, that broadly helps the Democratic Party without working with Joe Biden directly, and I expect that he will do that. Now, will he spend as much money on that campaign as he did on his own? He spent $500 million or more.
To win American Samoa.
Yes, which is nearly the GDP, annual GDP of American Samoa. So that's a lot of money. So I think he will be helpful. Now, look, there are other billionaires out there in the race. It's a well-funded system. But for a candidate for a Democratic Party, which is in the outs, which is not the party in the White House, to have someone who might be helpful financially in the time before Joe Biden can really get going raising money if he ends up being the nominee, that's a helpful thing. On Bernie Sanders, again, I think Jim's probably a little more optimistic than I am. I think if this race closes up a little bit, Bernie Sanders could be pretty bitter if he loses. And he certainly has things that he and his supporters will point to about states that he did well in that didn't report quickly. California ends up being this case. In a different situation where Bernie Sanders might have won the day of delegates, we might not have known about it for a long time, California. All of the consolidation behind Joe Biden, which seems like the party is just looking down at kind of outsiders of Bernie Sanders, I think those might factor in. But if the race goes pretty quickly and he's not a candidate, I think he'll be unhappy, kind of mildly helpful, but won't cause trouble. But I don't actually see him coming in and being actively supportive of a Biden nomination, more neutral if things go the way that they look like they're going to go with Biden winning.
I do think that the Elizabeth Warren non-endorsement of Bernie Sanders is really significant in terms of whether this party is going to unify, because ideologically, she's much closer to Sanders than to Joe Biden. They have the exact same health care plan, for example, and their tax plans are very similar. She is signaling, number one, I don't think that Bernie Sanders is going to win. And number two, we better get behind Joe Biden. And she's not ready to say, I'm with Joe. But I think it's a very strong signal there, so that when Bernie Sanders does say, well, this election was rigged, the person who first started talking about a rigged system is Elizabeth Warren, and she'll say, no, it wasn't. It was fair.
That's a very good point. And John Fortier, I think another factor for many Democrats are the so-called down-ballot races and the importance of having someone at the top of the ticket who will help to retain those seats in the House of Representatives that many Democrats won, defeated Republicans in. And they need someone who's a moderate. And somebody like Bernie Sanders, many analysts say, could hurt their chances.
I agree with you about the value of having somebody uniting the ticket at the top. Again, I think for voters, broadly being electable or broadly beating Donald Trump is in their minds. Thinking that far down the road, I think, is probably not the first thing on their minds. But it is a good thing. If the party unifies behind Joe Biden, if he's the nominee, he's a stronger nominee than Bernie Sanders, that is also helpful for these down ballot races. But broadly speaking, it's good for the congressional majorities as well.
Well, let's take a look at the GOP and Trump strategy going forward. How do you think he's recalculating his campaign in view of the Biden victories? He looks more likely to be his opponent in the general election, at least so far, than Bernie Sanders, someone who many say he would like to have competed against, because once again, Bernie Sanders is unlikely to win in a general election. But how do you think he and the Republican Party are calculating? What do you think their strategy will be going forward?
So this was not a great night for Donald Trump or the Super Tuesday or for the GOP. They really wanted Bernie Sanders. I mean, Sanders would have been a terrible candidate for Democrats. He definitely definitely would have lost to Donald Trump, and he'd be a disaster at the top of the ticket, especially once the Trump team spent $500 million educating voters on Sanders' record and promises and what would happen with taxes. And they don't want Joe Biden. I mean, that's what the whole impeachment was about. It was about a plan that was hatched inside the White House to try and deny Biden the nomination by getting Ukraine to conduct some phony investigations. So they see Biden as someone who can take a bunch of voters that Trump got, particularly white working class voters who were a bit disaffected with the Democratic Party. These tend to be more men than women, although there are definitely some women in these areas of the country that would flip back. And Biden will be very strong in the suburbs. And 2018, the midterm elections that Democrats did so well in, it was really a suburban-led revolt against Republicans. So, of course, Donald Trump is the incumbent. That is a very good position to have. He's more likely to win re-election than not at this point. Biden is the strongest candidate that Democrats could have, and I think you're going to see a dogfight from here on in.
So Biden is probably the strongest candidate on the Democrat side for President Trump. In addition to that, right now, President Trump used to tout the stock market as if that was the best measure of the economy. That's sunk quite a bit. Then he has been accused of mishandling this coronavirus. So he's got a lot of, let's call them, you know, shortcomings and challenges. How do you see the Republican Party and Mr. Trump going forward? You know, should Biden consolidate and look like a very formidable opponent in the general election?
Well, I agree. 10 days ago, Donald Trump was on top of the world. He was at his highest level of approval rating, definitely high for him. The nominee looked like Bernie Sanders. The economy was plowing along. Certainly, we have now a different front runner in the Democratic race, Joe Biden. But we also have the coronavirus, which is not absolutely clear that it will hurt or help Donald Trump, or whether it will be a temporary phenomenon or will be something that will last. So it's something that is a crisis, a kind of foreign policy crisis that we know that might come up, but it's certainly not the kind of certainty and just sitting on a great economy that we had before. I do think that the Trump White House would have liked to have run against Bernie Sanders better than Joe Biden, but I don't think they think of Joe Biden as some candidate that is the strongest candidate that they could have faced. And while I do think he potentially appeals to some of the voters in the Midwest, which again was the key swing region, you look at Joe Biden, the Trump campaign is talking about him as another version of Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but is a very establishment figure. And while Joe Biden has a history in some ways from Pennsylvania and then from Delaware, he also will be tagged as someone who voted for the Iraq War, is pro-NAFTA, pro-free trade, is pro-immigration. Some things that I think Donald Trump is using against Democrats to appeal to these white working class voters. I think Bernie Sanders would have been an overall much weaker candidate, but in some of those areas, Bernie Sanders would have had some likenesses to Donald Trump. So, look, I think it's not something that the Republican Party says, oh, I can't believe it's Joe Biden, we can't beat him. But certainly Bernie Sanders would have been an easier opponent.
And as we close, there's no question that Joe Biden is often gaffe prone and anything can happen. Nonetheless, a friend of mine who's from Pennsylvania, my home state, said that after hearing Biden after Super Tuesday, said he's going to go down very well in Pennsylvania. That is a state that Mr. Trump won in 2016, which is normally a blue state. But going forward, the upcoming contests in Michigan, state of Washington, Idaho, North Dakota, do they favor Biden or Sanders? How do you see it going forward in the next week?
So the next week has some states that I think are good Bernie states. Washington should be a Bernie state. Michigan is going to be the real fight. Michigan was the place where Bernie really ignited his candidacy against Hillary Clinton post-Super Tuesday. If Biden has a good showing in Michigan, which is very possible, the race is really going to proceed towards a finish, because then you get to the week after and it's Florida. And then after that, there's Georgia. The map really starts to tilt towards Biden. So I think the last gasp for Bernie Sanders possibly could be this Michigan primary on the 10th.
Well, you get the last word, John Fortier, but to what extent do you think some of these surrogates like Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, could they help Joe Biden in Michigan?
Well, I think their dropping out of the race was very significant at the time, and that was an important factor for Super Tuesday. In general, surrogates don't help you very much at all, so you've got to be on your own. So I'm not worried about that. And I agree with Jim. Michigan is the place I would watch. Bernie Sanders is going to do well in some of these western states like Washington, but Michigan and to some extent Missouri, which are on the ballot next week, Bernie Sanders has to show strength in the Midwest. If he does, it's a race again, because there are other Midwest states coming behind it which have significant populations. But if he does not show some strength in Michigan, I think we can say that the race is continuing as it is now with Joe Biden as the very likely winner.
And of course, we will be bringing you all that news in the weeks ahead. But for now, that's just about all the time we have on this edition of Encounter. I'd like to thank my guests, John Fortier. He's the director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Jim Kessler, senior vice president for policy at Third Way. Gentlemen, once again, thanks for a terrific conversation.
Thank you.
Encounter was produced in Washington. Thanks to Kim Lewis for booking our guests. Our engineer was Justin Thwaites. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on The Voice of America.